You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
It's for underneath.
Martial raft of memory. IE Crazy with Wetlands. We have IE Crazy in the studio. Morena, how are you this morning?
Morena, I am doing good. Waking up.
That is good. It's lovely to have you in here, and congratulations on Country Justice, which is your brand new album out today. It's been a slow burn for this one by the sounds of it. That track has been around for a wee while, and I wanted to play it because it feels like a very good entry point into this world you've created with the record. Tell us a wee bit about that headspace. Where's Country Justice come from for you?
Well, it has been a slow burn. It sort of kicked off around the time I released my last record, Non Compos Mentis, in 2017, so some 6 years ago now. It kind of came from some frustrations I was having, thinking about, I guess, like gender and in creative scenes, and then also on a wider, more structural level. The title track of the album Country Justice was a departure from what I had done before, and it was sort of felt like a bit of a stake in the ground, so to speak. Yeah,
totally. We were chatting off air. It's got that real New Zealand gothic imagery throughout the record, but it's not in the way I think we maybe see in the quote-unquote canon of that type of stuff, which is often very colonial and often very like patriarchal in its lens. This is not that at all. So it's almost a total subversion of that. But was it something that was in your mind, or a context that you found bubbling away when you were thinking through these ideas?
Oh, totally. That canon that you speak of in terms of film and literature and history is absolutely my or has been my bread and butter for a long time, and it's really refreshing to hear you say that you feel like it's the record is an attempt at subverting that, because it really is. I was sort of listening and thinking a lot about like murder ballads essentially, and some of the darker stories in Aotearoa history, and how we might, for starters, what stories get remembered, what stories get told and told and told again, and which ones disappear, and then the way in which those stories are told and shared. Yeah, so it was a very conscious choice.
It's obviously been a long writing process for you. I wondered where the kind of earliest ideas came from, and what were the most recent ones on the record, because I'm always interested in that, trying to track that chronology of thinking a little bit.
Yeah, sure. It is a pretty interesting record in that respect for me, because it's not it's not sort of go into a room and jam it out and hit record. It's sort of been stitched together in a kind of Frankenstein's monster sort of way over a very long period of time, which is really how I like to work. I'm a tinkerer and I love to tinker. And mash together things that might not necessarily seem like they fit at first listen. The timeline, well, with Country Justice, the song, which is in this release that's out today, has a couple of amendments. It's a revised version called Country Justice X, which sounds more sinister than it probably is. The early kind of stuff started, like I say, kicking off around 2018, 2019. I was performing solo, and basically, like, after lugging a guitar around Europe for like 8 months, was like, I don't want to carry this heavy ass guitar. So I was like, I'm just going to use hardware and work from a box. Basically get my performance on. That was really, really liberating for me. It's very easy, I think, for people who are not cis men to feel a need to prove themselves through attaching themselves to an instrument. When I was a kid, it was like, oh, you're just a singer, all this kind of stuff. Moving towards, I guess, like a production route, but then just freeing myself up to just like sing a bloody song. And like, you know, that's what I'm good at.
It's such an interesting thing. I think you're so right. I know so many people who've come through that realization process of having to feel like you have to do something to prove you're not what people are saying you are, then coming back around to feeling comfortable with doing that thing again and being like, actually, I love this, and screw whatever everybody else is trying to lay on to you. Yeah.
It is something to be wary of. And I do have an appreciation for, I guess, the climate that is happening at the moment in terms of like young people in music, because I feel like there is a lot more freedom and less judgment and kind of fascistic head spaces about what gear you use and how you use it.
I'm really interested in the kind of worlds within worlds of this record, if that makes sense, because there are things that feel like proper landscapes, like Wetlands is a really good example of that. You feel like you're in it, but then there's stuff that feels way more ephemeral in the sense that I can't sort of attach it to something physical. And I wondered if you think about like the location of what you're singing about, if that's something that's interesting to you, because it felt like a theme to me, but I might have just been projecting my own shit onto that.
Nah, you're bang on. I do think about location a lot, and I think you can't really live in this country without even subconsciously having a relationship with the landscape, because it's so intense. And I guess I made this record across many different places, like maybe like five different cities and even countries, and some of them like really places that have where the landscape has a character, like Dunedin, a very intense landscape, Hamilton, Germany, Wetlands is an interesting one, because I wrote it after my partner and I moved back up to Tamaki at the end of 2021, like the week before the big 4-month lockdown.
Oh, good timing.
Yeah, and we were living in near Te Waiorea, Western Springs, and which, like, you know, is, if you know it, it's swampy and stinky, and
hard.
The water is there's like a crust of green scum on the lakes, and and so it was locked down. I was there every day, and I don't know. I mean, I grew up in, I guess, like between South Central Auckland and West Auckland, so the mangroves and the mudflats are that's my jam. Yeah,
big time. You've got some amazing people who've contributed to this as well. It really feels like the village has come with you on this project. We're going to listen shortly to one that's got Cello Forrester on it, of Womb, and there's a bunch of other incredible people, and I've seen you on Instagram posting sort of almost tributes to those people who've been part of this record. It seems like you've very consciously chosen to work with people who are almost like mentors to you in a way. Would that be a fair assessment?
Yeah, mentors and collaborators.
Yeah.
I guess like the kind of in parallel to making this record, or, you know, even in the context of my life at large, there's just like always kind of, I guess, work happening. Like the record for me is like, I don't know, this is really cheesy but kind of amazing, Leonard Cohen quote.
Love it.
Here we go. I'm like, feminism, Leonard Cohen.
It's all about dichotomy.
And he says that poetry is the evidence of a life burning, it's like the ash of a life burning well. Which is, I don't know, like for me the record is like that. Like so many of these pieces come from larger collaborations or larger works that other people have created, like the Nisha Madan piece at the centre of the record has excerpts from her incredible solo show. Can I say the F word?
Yeah, it's close enough to nine.
Fuck Rant, from 2018. And there's, I guess, like, I don't know, thinking about like resisting that, you know, if you're making a record by yourself, like I really wanted to resist this, I guess, idea of the auteur or like this person in a room like pouring their heart out, and really acknowledging that this stuff does involve so many different people and collaborators, who, some visible, some invisible. And there is, you know, some alive, some passed on. And like, this is, the whakapapa of, I guess, any creative work is so much bigger and deeper physically and temporally than we often acknowledge.
Yeah, hard. I think on that note, we should dive into another song. The gloam is such an evocative word. It's one of those words I've always loved. I think I can remember being a nerdy little kid and reading it in a book and Googling, like, or, you know, looking in maybe even far enough back to look in an actual dictionary for that one. But this is one of those ones that I think sits in that ephemeral space. Like, it's not so much like anchored onto something in an obvious way. What was the like thinking behind this song? Where were you kind of exploring?
Well, this song actually came about when I was commissioned by the poet and choreographer Tru Paraha to write a work for the Tempo Dance Festival and perform it live. And so the concept of Tru's show was around the gloaming and in the context of Te Ao Māori, the space of Te Pō, basically the space before Rangi Nui and Papatūānuku were separated by their children and brought light into the world. So I got really, I guess, interested in and moved by the story of, I guess, essentially lovers or people who care about each other so deeply but are forced apart in order to let something else live. And the track has kind of it's kind of become a bit of a scaffold or a skeleton from which I don't know, it holds a lot of emotion, and I really wanted cello to sing on it because my kind of voicings throughout the record are quite harsh and angry, and cello brings such a warmth and intimacy to everything they do. I felt like it needed that grounding.
Awesome. It's a beautiful collaboration, and it's a beautiful record. IE Crazy, Country Justice. Thank you so much, Francis, for coming in this morning.
Kia ora, Rachel. Thank you.
We'll see you again soon.
Awesome.
Oh, I used to write a lot of sad ass songs.
About his suicidal tendencies until after his death.
Maybe I should start taking my pills again.
Thank you.
This is The Gloam from IE Crazy, featuring the wonderful Cello Forrester from Womb, whose hoodie I am once again wearing. Probably my highest rotation hoodie at the moment. Thanks so much to Francis for coming in for a chat this morning. That album is out today, and there is a gig to celebrate this weekend at the Wine Cellar. Tickets are selling very, very fast, so if you want to go get them now from Under the Radar. It's only $15, and Haji is going to be opening.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.